One of the things that I was challenged by for a long time was understanding the Word of God. Now, I don't mean so much from the perspective of reading something. It's like, what in the world does that mean? I mean, we all go through that. And really, even now, there are times I'll read something. It's like, okay, now what exactly is God saying here? I'm talking about seeing the Bible as more than just a book. You know, we say, well, the Bible, that's God's Word. And, you know, amen, always believe that. From the time I was a young child growing up, that's what I heard. The Bible is God's Word. But it seems like that is a kind of like a mantra that we repeat. It's like a religious catchphrase. This is God's Word. But we don't fully understand the magnitude of what we're looking at and what we're saying when we declare the Bible is the Word of God. When we open our Bibles, what do we see? Well, really, it doesn't matter what version you have, because when you open your Bible, you see paper, and on that paper you see ink. And depending upon your personal language, what you speak, you know, French, Russian, Chinese, I mean, what have you, you see the ink on the paper arranged in a format that you understand. It's not just ink blotches. The ink has been formed into letters and symbols and, I mean, whatever your language dictates, so that when you look at it, you comprehend it. But that's the same thing that happens when we go to the library and get a book. We open the cover, we open it, and we have pages, and we see the ink on the page in a structure that we recognize and can read. It seems like it's really easy for us to mentally say or agree with, you know, this is the Word of God. But beyond that, it seems like it's a challenge for us to get a hold of what we're really looking at. I agree that this is paper, ink on paper, words that we can read. How can you not agree with that? But this really is a miracle. Now, some people would say, well, of course it's a miracle because there's no other written document in history like the Bible where there is so much continuity over, you know, so many thousands of years. Because roughly you have 4,000 years of history recorded here in the pages of God's Word. So therefore, yeah, with the continuity that we see from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we know these people, you know, so many of them didn't know each other. They lived in different eras. It really is amazing. It really is miraculous that we have this. Well, I don't disagree with that, and I try to appreciate that. But it's really more than that. In a way that we don't understand, God took His power and He put it in written form. What we see here in the pages of Scripture, this is the power of life. This is the power of creation, the whole universe. Because when you go back and you read in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God said, let there be, and boom, there was. We have a record of what He said. There is power in this, and until we come to the place of really trying to understand it, we're not going to be able to fully appropriate what it represents. Now, by the time this is over tonight, all we're going to have is an introduction to a way of living that will change nothing until we act on it. This is so difficult to put into words we can truly understand. Because what you're talking about is absolute, pure, holy deity who has somehow been able to take his words from the realm of the Spirit and transfer them into the realm of the natural using the medium of ink and paper to impart his power to us. Now, I'm not talking, we could talk about the, you know, the anointing of the Holy Spirit and so forth, but we're not focusing on that tonight. We're focusing upon this right here. Now, what's amazing is that, you know, we can stand here, read this, look at it, and so forth, but until it becomes more than just words on a page, its potential is dormant. You know, think of it like this. You have a stick of dynamite. Now, you know, you can take that stick of dynamite, you can throw it on the ground, you can stomp on it, and all kinds of... It's not going to blow up. It won't hurt anything. It won't do anything. But the moment you light that fuse, it's in your best interest to run. Well, drop the stick of dynamite and then run. Not run with it. Because that thing's going to blow. And it'll kill you. But its potential is not realized until it's lit. Well, see, the potential of what's here in Scripture is not realized until we begin to, in ourselves, determine and believe it is what it is. You know, there's a passage in Scripture that says God sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all destructions. Well, you know, we read that, it's like, praise God, yeah, man, that's cool. God sent His Word. Now, I want you to think of it like this. For imagery's sake, God's on the throne up in heaven. He says, man, those people sure do need some healing. Wonder what I could do. I know, I will send My Word and heal them. So, God says, healing. And He spits the word of healing into His hands. I know this is not how it happened. Then He takes it, and He says, all right, go and heal them. Now, that word has been released. Now, didn't God say over there in Jeremiah, when My word goes forth from My mouth, it won't return void, it'll accomplish whatever I send it forth to accomplish? So when He said that word, He took that word, you know, heal them. And He throws it. And here everybody's down here, you know, on earth, just doing their thing. Next thing you know, from the realm of the Spirit into the realm of the natural, here comes His word. And this word is healing. It's health. And once that word impacts the individual who needs healing and health, that word produces the healing and the health. Here's what it won't do. It will not produce rain on parched ground. Here's why. Because when He took the word heal and sent that forth, that word had one mission, which was to heal. That word, as it's, you know, headed in our direction, it's like, I haven't been sent to cause rain. I haven't been sent to do this or do that or bring peace or anything else. I have been sent to heal, and I will heal because I can't do anything but heal. That's it. That's all I know how to do is heal. Well, then He takes the word, you know, peace. Joy. I mean, on and on it goes. Now, again, I know that God didn't literally, you know, speak a word into His hand and then throw it like a snowball. I'm doing that to illustrate. He sent His word. And this is how it will be when my word goes forth from my mouth. It will accomplish what I send it forth to accomplish, and it will not return void. Now, I want you to think about this. We have, in this book that we call the Bible, the power that God released from the realm of the Spirit. Miraculously, it has been put into writing so that we can comprehend it, so that we can read it, so that we can study to show ourselves approved. You know where it talks about there in Timothy, you know, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? Do you realize you're also rightly dividing the word of power, the word of deliverance, the word of everything that God has said? Look in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to look at an Old Testament passage. Then we're going to look at a New Testament statement. And both are saying essentially the same thing, but it's being presented differently. And we'll just go ahead and read this. In Proverbs chapter 4, look in verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now stop right there. Do you remember in Genesis where God took Adam and he put him in the Garden of Eden and he said, okay, now your responsibility is to don't eat from this tree over here. You can eat everything else, but you are to tend, dress the garden. That is essentially another way of saying this. My son, attend to my words. Look at the Bible. Think of it like this. Consider the Bible as a garden of life. My son, attend to the garden of life. Attend to the garden of power. Attend to the garden of everything that you need. Attend to it. That means this is beyond just acknowledging its existence. This is giving attention to, but it's also, this is a hard way to describe it, but it's, you're working the word, if you will. You're working it. Just like, you know, when little kids take Play-Doh and they work the Play-Doh and they form the Play-Doh, I mean, they're attending to the Play-Doh. If you do anything with Legos, you know what Legos are, this little block, you're attending to the Legos. Well, here he says, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Now, this is important for us. You see, God does not say something unless there is a purpose and a meaning behind it. Here he tells us, attend to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. All right, therefore, we know right now there is something critical about hearing the Word of God. Well, somebody can say, of course there is. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I understand that. No problem. I agree. But this tells us it's not simply a matter of faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, because as we go through this, you're going to see faith itself is not specifically identified by that word. He says, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Okay, now God is telling me that for me to be effective in the use of His word, I must include my ear in this process. Inclining my ear, in another way of saying this, is a part of attending to His words. Then he continues and says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Okay, now I see my eyes play a role in this. It's not simply my ears, but he says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Now remember, this is coming from God. And God is saying, if you're going to attend to my words, for one thing, you got to make sure your ears are involved. And then for another thing, you have to make sure that your eyes are involved. Then he goes on to say, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now, don't think strictly in terms of memorization. Anybody can memorize. I mean, lost people can memorize the Bible. So this isn't simply a matter of memorization. This is a matter of comprehension, of acceptance, of choosing to believe, of making His words a part of how we live, a part of our very existence here on earth. In other words, well, how can you say this? You can't keep them in the midst of your hearts if your eyes and your ears are not involved. By keeping them in the midst of your ears. Remember over there in Mark chapter 4, where he says the sower sows the word. Then what happens? Satan comes immediately to steal the word that's sown. And he talks about, okay, this one, you know, well, you know, shallow ground and et cetera, et cetera. Then we get down to where it says, and these are they which, you know, heard the word, received it, and kept it, and brought forth the fruit, the 30, 60, the 100-fold. That's what we're seeing here. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Don't let something impact you that would cause you to question what you have heard and what you have seen. The existence of sickness in your body does not discredit what God has said about healing. The existence of poverty in the world does not discredit what God has said about provision. The existence of sin does not discredit what God said about salvation. So he says, attend to my words, incline your ear, keep your eyes on them, keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? They are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Is it possible, based on just what we're seeing here, is it possible that if we did more of verses 20 and 21, we would battle less sickness and affliction in our bodies? See, this has nothing to do with me praying for you or for you praying for me. He's saying, look, see, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. I don't think we really understand what God is telling us throughout the sum total of His Word. God right now, if God would come down off His throne and stand right here in a way that we could physically see Him, and He looked at us and He said, all right, now look, you're my children. You've accepted my Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. You are my children. Now, kids, listen up. I'm telling you as your dad, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, because they are life unto you and they are health to your flesh. If I do more of verses 20 and 21, I'll probably be in fewer prayer lines asking somebody to pray for my healing. See this? This is not a difficult concept. But it is so different from the way we typically live as Christians. We'll read this and it's like, yes, amen, that's right. This is what God has to say, and it's true because this is the Word of God. But we don't do it. We just don't do it the way that we could do it. But this is not going to change. What we're reading right here is not going to change. It is a constant for every day of our lives. When we wake up in the morning, this truth is, you know, figuratively speaking, hanging over our heads. When we go to bed at night, this truth is there in the bedroom waiting for us. It's not going to change. Now, to say it a little bit differently, the way people would say it, well, you know what? If you want to put up with sickness and stuff, go right ahead. That's totally up to you. But here's the answer. Here it is. And you know what? Really, can you imagine having a prayer line? I heard of a preacher one time that he would have a prayer line, and when he would go in front of each person, he would ask them, do you tithe? And if they said no, he would tell them, well, I'm not going to pray for you. I'm not going to lay hands on you because, you know, if you don't tithe, you're cursed, and I'm not going to lay my hands on that which is cursed. And he'd tell people, go sit down. Okay, that's a little crazy. But this, what if in a prayer line, before we prayed for somebody, we looked at them and we asked, are you inclining your ear to God's word? And are you keeping it before your eyes and keeping it in the midst of your heart? Are you doing this? Are you? Well, most Christians are probably going to say, well, of course I am. You know, we don't want to look bad, right? But if we're honest, most Christians are going to say, well, no, not really. Then that's possibly the reason why you're here in this prayer line. Because God has said they are life unto those that find them and health to their flesh. Health. Health is health to your flesh. This is, for us, so difficult to believe. Now, you know why it presents itself as a difficulty to believe? It's because it's not in the midst of our heart. But if it was in the midst of our heart, living and alive, then we wouldn't be in the prayer line, probably wouldn't be in the prayer line in the first place. But even if we were, this would be so real to us that we'd know, when you pray for me and lay hands on me, I know I'm going to be healed because the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. Now, I don't know if it's going to instantaneously manifest right here in this prayer line, but whether it does or it's 2 or 3 or 4 days later, it's going to manifest because that is what the Word says, and God can't lie. Well, furthermore, he said, keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why is that? Because the Word is supposed to be in the midst of my heart. Let me say this another way. Guard your heart with all diligence concerning what is in the midst of it, because out of it are the issues of life. Remember what Jesus said? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So out of it, my heart, are the issues of life. Well, how do those issues of life get out? By my words, by what I speak. And if you look at the next verse, he says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Why? Because they are contrary to the word of God. What is a froward mouth, and what are perverse lips? Those things that are spoken that contradict the word of God. Okay, now that brings up a really interesting question. If I have, like he says right here, a froward mouth and perverse lips, if I have them, how did I get them? How did they get there? How did I get to this place of having a froward mouth and perverse lips? Well, the answer is in this passage. It's because I have not inclined my ear to His Word. I've not put it, kept it in front of my eyes. And I have not kept it, where? In the midst of mine heart. Because if I had, then what would be coming out of my mouth would be the life and the power of the Word. I wouldn't be speaking those things that contradict the Word. You can tell what's in a person's heart by how they talk. When you get around Christians and they're, you know, we use the word confession, but let me say it like this. Their conversation is from time to time focused on the bad. All the negative. Now, it's not wrong to ask for prayer for sickness or, you know, pain. It's not wrong. That is confirmed in Scripture. You know, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. Well, why would I call for the elders if I'm not going to tell them I need some prayer? Because there's some sickness. You understand what I'm saying? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people to where it's like they magnify their problems. They magnify their physical stuff. I've prayed for people in prayer lines. This is, I don't want to say regular, but it has happened repeatedly on an infrequent basis over the years where I will pray for somebody and I'll guarantee you. Well, I don't want to say it. Let me say it a little differently. I've prayed for people, then after the fact, I will hear them before they walk out of this building talk about what they have. Instead of talking about, yeah, I'm winning the victory over something, instead of talking about, you know, well, you know, I just thank God, you know, I got prayed for tonight, you know, I'm just believing it's going to manifest my healing. But instead of talking like that, they go through all the symptoms and what the doctors have been telling them or what they think the doctors would tell them if they went to a doctor. They repeat this over and over again. It's like one preacher was talking about, you know what an organ recital is? That's when somebody comes up for prayer and says, oh, my liver, oh, my kidneys, oh, my... an organ recital. All right, just think about it for a little bit. It'll... Okay. You'll get it about midnight. Don't call me. And that's what happens. A lot of times people give these organ recitals right after I've prayed. Like minutes after I've prayed. And I'm telling you, I don't let it get to me, but boy, I sure could. Why did you come up for prayer? Because you've got a froward mouth and perverse lips. See, God, when you compare what you say to the way God speaks in His Word, do you notice a difference? Are you, you know, can two walk together except they be agreed? Do you walk in agreement with what God has said? See, this is power. It's power. This is called spiritual dynamite for illustration. This is power. And the fuse is my belief system. This is power. Look, this right here, when you walk in this room with this book in your hands, well, for those of you who do, when you walk in this room with this book in your hands, do you understand you are carrying with you power that created this universe? That created molecules? You are carrying the power that caused water to turn into fish, that caused dirt to turn into animals. Go back and read Genesis 1. That's what happened. The power that caused an axe head to float in water, the power that caused a dead body to come to life. Lazarus, come forth. Roll away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. But he stinks. Hush. That's not in there. I'll bet you there were times he felt like saying that. The people, you know, just, will you hush? That's what this is. That's what this is. It's that kind of power. We fall short in believing that. And I'm not trying to be critical when I say that because I'm the same way. Because it's just our minds, our human minds have a hard time understanding that, but it's just ink on paper. Yeah, it's just ink on paper. But it's a miracle because God has infused this with His glory, with His mercy, with His power, with His anointing. That's what this is. And it's not just ink on paper. This stuff is alive. I'll prove it. We might come back here to Proverbs chapter 4, so if you have a marker, put it there. But then turn over to John chapter 6. I mean, you know God is not going to lie. You know that God is not going to say something that's not true. And Jesus, he made a statement. He said, you know, I only speak those things that my Father tells me to speak. He gave us revelation that the Father wanted him to give us. And what we're going to read right now is a shortened version of essentially the same message that we just read over there in Proverbs. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. That didn't make any sense. Not to the human mind. But this is a variation on that theme that we were reading about over there in Proverbs. My words are spirit and they are life. My words are spirit and they are life. My words. I can stand here and if I open my mouth and begin to release what's in my heart, my words are spirit and they are life. Okay, now let's think. Remember back over there in Proverbs, where it said, my son, attend to my word. All right, well, let me change it for the sake of this teaching and not distort the truth. My children, attend to my words. My sons and my daughters, attend to my words. Take what I have said, incline your ear to it, put it before your eyes, and then keep them in the midst of your heart. In the midst of your heart. Okay, now we're His children, are we not? Who was Jesus? Son of God. When Jesus was here on earth, He was not pure deity. Now, a lot of people say that He was, but you know, as we discovered in Scripture, pure deity does not get tired. Remember, it talks about how, well, Jesus was wearied from His journey. Jesus in the back end of the boat, asleep. But the Bible says that God never slumbers and He never sleeps. Okay? So Jesus left that deity aspect of Himself in heaven. Philippians talks about this. And He came down here to reveal to us, here's how you can live in a human body when you have God's life. Let me set an example for you. So here's this non-deified Son of God, Jesus. I mean, you can't kill God, right? Did Jesus die? Yeah. I mean, on and on it goes here, okay? See, the crazy thing is here, Christians really struggle with this. How dare you say that Jesus was not deity? Well, God doesn't get hungry. God is not dependent upon His creation to survive. And yet Jesus got hungry and wanted to eat. Jesus got thirsty and wanted to drink. Are you understanding this? Okay. So here's Jesus, and He makes a statement. He says, my words are spirit, and they are life. Here's a man with God's life on the inside of him making a statement, my words are spirit and they are life. Now in Hebrews it tells me to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That means I'm to look unto Jesus as my example. Now Jesus had made the statement, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Out of the good treasure you bring forth the good things. Out of the bad treasure you bring forth the bad things. The froward mouth, the perverse lips. And He says, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Then He turns around and He says, my words are spirit and they are life. He had the Word of God as the abundance of His heart in the midst of His heart. So that when He opened His mouth and began to speak, His words were spirit and they were life. Okay, now let's think about us for a minute. I'm born again, and I have the life of God inside me. The same life that Jesus had. There's no difference in that. But compared to who he is right now, and so, I mean, I'll never be a deified individual. But I still have his life in me. I'm born again. In that respect, I'm like him. And after all, don't we read over there in 1 John that as he is, so are we here on this earth. Now Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Now this is important, and it may sound like I'm, you know, like I say, splitting hairs. He didn't say God's words. He said my words. You say, well, what's the difference? Technically there is none, because he said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. So he had taken, if you will, the Word of God, and he had put it in his heart, and it was the abundance of his heart. So that when he opened his mouth, the Word of God was coming out. It was spirit, and it was life. So for me, since I have the life of God in me, if I work hard to make sure that God's Word is the abundance of my heart, and I keep it in the midst of my heart, then when I open my mouth and I begin to speak, his Word will be coming out, and my words will be spirit and life. Because what we have written down here in Scripture is a written... there's no way to explain this clearly in human terms, but do you realize what we have written down here? This is spirit that has been put on paper. You say, oh, that sounds crazy. My words are spirit and they are life. You've got it in your hands. That's what he said. Just because our brains can't calculate it and put a formula to it, it doesn't change what it is. So we sit back and we basically what we have to do is say, I am totally clueless on how this all came about. I don't know how God did it, but I am right now looking at spirit. I am looking at life, and it's been somehow put in a way that I can understand it. I don't get it, but based on what is written in here, that's exactly what's going on. So therefore, now this doesn't mean that you have to go around your whole life just quoting Scripture. Okay? You know, you want to talk about your football team. I mean, you can do that. It's okay. Look, Jesus was on earth for 3.5 years in ministry. Now, you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, in one afternoon. That's 3.5 years of ministry in one afternoon, and an extremely brief summary of all the other years of his life. Extremely brief. You don't think there were times when he talked about other stuff? You don't think there were times when he talked about maybe athletic events, whatever they did back then? Sure, there was casual conversation. Sure, there was. But when it came to what was meaningful, what he spoke, his words were spirit and they were life. And even in the casual, he did not speak with a froward mouth or perverse lips. Now, perverse, don't think in terms of, you know, cussing and things like that. Just contrary to the Word of God. I mean, you can tell jokes and not be contrary to the Word of God. You understand what I mean? Sure you can. So now here, I'm looking at the same situation. If I take the Word of God and I make it the abundance of my heart, then when I need a Word of God encounter, event, result, then what's going to happen is when I open my mouth and I begin to speak, my words will be spirit and they will be life. When I my approach to any kind of affliction that tries to attack my body, when I speak, I will be speaking spirit and life to that affliction. When I, my financial situation. See, this is one of the reasons why it's so important to speak the Word of God, because when we are speaking the Word of God, we are speaking spirit and life into our situation. I mean, when's the last time that you actually talked to your financial situation? Because let's face it, man, we've got people in this congregation, the financial part, I mean, it's a battle. And I'm not saying that to be, you know, negative confession. That's what's been going on. It's been a battle. But according to what I see in Scripture, my words can become spirit and they can become life. You know, okay, here's a financial situation. Hey, Peter, doesn't that Jesus pay the temple tax? And Peter gets near Jesus and Jesus says, Peter, what are they upset about the tax thing again? Okay, listen, I'll tell you what. Get your fishing pole. Go down near the lake, cast your line in, and the first fish you catch, open its mouth, reach inside, take out the temple tax money for you and for me, okay, and go pay it. That's spirit and that's life. That didn't make any human sense. It makes no sense, but it was spirit and it was life, and he did it. And he caught the fish. Now, I don't care how much Peter believed, that still had to be a wow moment when he opened that fish's mouth. I believed you, but man, this is cool. You know, wonder if there's any more down in there somewhere. Cough it up, boy. That was a spirit and a life moment. Who knows how long that fish had been swimming around with the money in its mouth. It was a spirit-life moment. When it was necessary, Jesus opened his mouth and spoke it. It came to pass. It happened. When's the last time that we have spoken spirit and life to our financial situation? Most of us, and I'm not trying to bring us down, but the truth is, most of us, we have a hard time believing this. Because confession is, it's almost like, well, you know, they said I got to say it. So I guess I better say it. You know, I'm blessed. And I mean, we don't mean it to sound flippant like that. But we haven't fully comprehended that this book is alive. These words are spirit and they are life. And when I put them in my heart, when I put them in me, because I am a child of God, and I have His life and His nature in me, then I'm doing the same thing Jesus did. I am taking the words of God, which are spirit and life and power and anointing and glory and all everything that, I mean, it comes from God. I'm taking that and I am combining it and joining it to who I am in God, and I am the righteousness of God. I am, my spirit is the life of God. My spirit is the true holiness of Almighty God. So I'm taking that word and I'm mixing it in with what I am and who I am. Then when I open my mouth, I'm releasing a divine combination that can't fail. But I have to come to the place of convincing myself that's the way it is. And we've lived our lives, well, maybe not all of you, but we haven't seen confession work the way that, well, it's supposed to work. And then we kind of like, well, you know, maybe it's not real. Or, you know, well, I don't know what the problem is. All right, well, let's think now. You've been confessing, right?
Yes.
It's not working, is it?
No.
Okay, then where do you think the problem lies? Does it lie with the Word of God? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, believe it. You get what you say. I mean, the concepts and principles of speaking the Word of God, it's recorded in here. Now, do you believe the problem is with the Word of God? Well, you know, we say no, but sometimes we're like, oh, I don't know. I mean, at this point, I just don't know, man. On the one hand, we agree. You know, no, the problem is not with God. But then on the other hand, it's like, then what is the problem? Well, stand in front of a mirror. I mean, we could all stand in front of, let me get one big mirror and put it in the back of the church on the wall, and everybody turn around and look at it and say, the problem is me. Because that's really what it comes down to. If you believe in your heart and don't doubt, you'll have what you say. And this is not about some crazy pie-in-the-sky faith and confession message that's just off base. No, it's this concept of in our hearts, the Word of God is the abundance. I'll still talk about football and I'll still talk about the weather and talk about this, but in my heart, His Word has become the abundance. How? Because I've inclined my ear and I've kept it in front of my eyes. That's how I keep it in the midst of my heart. So it's in there. Then when I need it, I open my mouth and out comes Spirit and life to bring God's promised results into a situation. It doesn't happen overnight. Because for one thing, we're going to have to uproot anything in us that has challenged what I'm saying tonight. Me too. Because there have been times when I've confessed stuff and it hasn't worked. It's like, well, you know, the problem can't be me. It must be people in the church speaking negative stuff. It just can't be me. I can't be the problem. No, that's just not the way it works. I'm starting to see this more clearly than I ever have in my life. I'm starting to understand it. Could I have understood it earlier in life? Yeah. But for one thing, the church I grew up in, well, I don't ever remember anybody teaching along these lines. But it's in here. I mean, we've seen Proverbs 4 and what Jesus has said. I mean, it's there. How are you going to get around that? I was never taught these kind of things, but they're true. Well, then I get into, you know, the Spirit-filled, the full gospel circles and so forth, and they taught it, but it kind of got a little imbalanced at times because, you know, you're talking about cars and houses and jewelry and, you know, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of money and all. No. There has to be the balance. The balance is revealed in the Word of God, but here's the thing. When the Word becomes the abundance of your heart, the balance is already there. You don't have to try to become balanced. Do you need finances? Well, then get all the promises about finances. Okay, I can do that. I get 15 verses about finances, and I leave all the rest of it on the shelf. That's the imbalance. But when the Word, the Word, not memorized, just I keep sowing it into my life. Sowing it, yes, but until I understand. You don't have to understand, just sow it. Just keep sowing. Just keep sowing. Obviously, you know you're praying the Spirit too, but just keep putting the Word in there. So it becomes the abundance, and you're going to be surprised because the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, divides asunder. So the stuff that's in there starts being cut away, and we're not having to work so hard at it because we're making sure that the Word of God is the abundance of our heart. I'm guilty of not doing this the way I should have. So it's like we're all in this together, but part of it has been because of a lack of knowledge. We haven't understood it this way. Now, this tonight really is like an introduction to this whole concept, like kind of like what I was sharing earlier. This is presenting to us between what we've seen over here in Proverbs 4 and Jesus' declaration, my words are spirit and they are life. This is like God saying, okay, I'm opening the door. I want you to peek here in the room and I want you to see what's going on. And I'm going to do it, you know, with Proverbs 4 and John chapter 6. I want you to see this. Now that you've seen in this room, you've gotten a glimpse of what's in here, I want you to come in and I want you to start doing this. Here's the thing, guys. The results are guaranteed. They were for Jesus. The results are guaranteed. But we have lived so long not seeing the results We wonder, is it ever going to happen? But yet, when you get into the Word of God, you realize He can't lie. When you get into the Word of God and realize, when He opened His mouth and He spoke this forth, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. When He opened His mouth and He gave this, I mean, He was releasing truth and life and power and anointing and glory, and it ended up in written form. How? I don't know how He did it. I don't know how these words, because see, some of these words, some of these words you can find in porno magazines. Love, you know, just when and the, I mean, you understand what I'm saying? These words can appear everywhere. But here, they have been infused with the life and the power of God. That is incredible. And He says, you know what? I'm going to give this to you for you to use to get My results in your life. So what we have to do then is the ears and the eyes fill the heart, and when the time comes and we just open, it's just going to happen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You don't have to sit and think about, what am I supposed to say? What's the right confession for this one? It just comes out because it's the abundance of the heart. Praise God. Well, I don't know about you, but I mean, this encourages me. Thing is, no, I got to do it too. You know, good for the goose, good for the gander, right? Or vice versa. Like I said, this is an introduction. It's like God just showing us, here's a truth. This will bring the change in your life. I've done My part. I've given you My word. I've infused it with My power, My anointing, and so forth. Now you take it and put it to work in your life, and you're going to see the results. Praise God.